Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
And we're going to jump right into our weekly profit.
Woo! So some super exciting news out of Pottermore. And anybody who is maybe a fan of The Cursed Child?
Maybe? Perhaps?
not almost, but a lot of the original cast from the West End in London are coming to Broadway, and I am so stoked.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
I was actually really upset that I wouldn't get to see Numa. Is that her? Numa as Hermione? I think that that's her first name.
She signed on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was upset that I probably wasn't going to get to see her as Hermione, but now it's confirmed that I will get to. We all will if we go to New York, and I
when not we go if, to New York
when
we go to New York. So, just for a little bit more detail on that, 7 actors from the original West End company will be reprising the roles they originated on stage in the UK. Jamie Parker will be Harry. Noma. Dumezweni, I think that's how you say her last name. Sorry. Returns as Hermione. Paul Thornley is Ron. Poppy Miller is Ginny. Sam Clement is Albus. Alex Price is Draco. And Anthony Boyle is Scorpius. So all of those main characters basically are coming back, which I'm super excited about.
Can we just say it's 7 actors that are returning? How magical is that?
Magical number 7.
I am also super stoked to see if they win any Tony Awards.
That, yeah, definitely.
Because they won 22 awards, 22 major awards over in London, including all of those Olivier awards that they won, which was
Lawrence,
like 9.
Olivier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are very prestigious awards.
They are. I mean, it's the UK's equivalent of the Tonys.
Well,
so.
And everybody who says that they've seen the show and then, you know, reading the screenplay. It's very much an amazing experience that they had at the West End.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with a 2-parter. So, you know, coming to Broadway, you know that they're going to do it up. They're probably going to, you know, put their own little kind of tweak and stuff on the effects and the sets and stuff or whatever. But I am not a fan of the Cursed Child story. I can appreciate it for what it is. But I am really stoked to see it on Broadway.
I'm super excited to see Anthony Boyle come back as Scorpius because I can't remember if it's Sam Clement who plays Albus or if it's Anthony. I think it might be Sam, but one of them is the Scorbus shipper. Scorpius and Albus.
I totally am.
I have not even heard of that. I guess I try to distance myself from Cursed. Is that bad?
I like Scorpius and Rose together.
No. That's all.
Well, in the fandom, you can create whatever you want.
That's this the beauty of it.
There's a lot of fan fiction on all of those subjects.
Including Cursed Child. It's its own fanfic.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Megan said, yeah, that's confirmation.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's okay.
So yeah, I'm excited though. I think it might be Sam, but one of them is a semi Scorbus shipper. And, I'm excited to see that because not only is that really the first venture, it kind of gave, I think, some of the Potter fandom hope that there would be more of an LGBT role in some type of story. And you know, it's not really confirmed obviously because Rose likes Scorpius, but our next Scorpius chance after Rose. This, our next chance after this is Fantastic Beasts seeing yep. Dumbledore. So
yeah, we should be able to
I'm
see
so
that.
I'm so excited
that
for
relationship.
That. Oh, especially because I love the actors, which is a little controversial, yeah. But
well,
So
peppers and opinions,
peppers and opinions. We all have our peppers and opinions.
So yeah, that is the weekly profit. But then to add on to that. Don't forget to give us a review on iTunes and to subscribe because it can help us get on new and noteworthy. And then let us know on Facebook so that we can send you a Swish and Flick button, which you have until September 1st to do.
You want a Swish and Flick
yes, button. They're cute. They're purple. They're adorbs.
They're purple.
I want another
magical
one.
Number or
a magic number.
Purple's color. A number.
I was supposed to bring some and I forgot.
Yeah,
today,
so. That's okay.
We're getting koozies. Woo woo woo.
We I are think we're going to be seeing a lot of each other, so you guys will get buttons.
That's true.
This is true.
That's true. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into highlights from chapters 2 and 3 from the previous episode.
Yes. So last episode we discussed the Dursleys and their never changing household, Dudley's birthday, and how he's a complete spoiled brat. A little bit about Mrs. Fig, some of Harry's juvenile magic, the zoo, and our very first encounter with Parseltongue. We did a comparison of Harry and Dudley. We had our very first exposure to Hogwarts because of Harry's letter. Dudley had the worst day of his life. Vernon went just a little bit insane trying to escape all those letters, and we finally ended on the Hut on the Rock, and it ended with a boom.
Boom. Who's at the door?
Who's coming to dinner? Okay, so chapter 4, The Keeper of the Keys. The door is smashed. Ooh. I can't
read. Sarah, you have chocolate on your face.
Do I really?
Yeah, from lunch.
Pounding down brownies like it ain't no thing.
The door to the hut is smashed right off its hinges, and Harry sees a giant of a man standing in the doorway. The strange man comes inside the hut, starts to make a cup of tea, and tells Harry he hasn't seen him since he was a baby. Vernon demands he leaves, and the man tells him to basically shut it. He wishes Harry a happy birthday and gives him a cake from inside his massive coat, and introduces himself as Rubius Hagrid, the keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts. Harry doesn't know what he's talking about, and Hagrid is mad that the Dursleys never told Harry that he's a wizard, and how his parents went to Hogwarts, the wizarding school, and how Harry will go there now, too. Vernon tries to get Hagrid to stop telling Harry about it, but he gives Harry his Hogwarts letter, and he sends a quick owl to Dumbledore that he gave Harry his letter and will take him school supply shopping the next day. He tells Harry how his parents actually died by Voldemort's wand and not in a car crash, as his aunt and uncle have always told him. It ends with Vernon insulting Dumbledore and Hagrid hexing a pigtail on Dudley.
Dudley as a literal pig. Oh, man. So Hagrid coming into the hut right off the bat, Rowling describes him as a giant. I mean, and then later on, we learn that he is a half giant. But, can you imagine being Harry? And Hagrid is a scary looking guy. I mean, obviously we know now that he's like just the nicest guy, fluffiest kind of man. But if I was Harry, I would be terrified seeing Hagrid just coming into this hut, especially with the storm. And
it's a scary setting if you think about it.
It is. It's kind of a scary setting.
Harry doesn't seem too scared though, really.
I know, which is like, I don't know.
It's just kind of strange.
Maybe he's just like, this is better than being at my own house in a cupboard under the stairs.
At least this is exciting.
Yeah. Or maybe he doesn't care because it's his birthday, almost.
I think that speaks a lot about Harry, too, which I think I wanted to mention later, but I think it just proves how magical he is because he just accepts these things, these strange things that happen. Yeah. You know, like, it's a little taken aback, but okay, it's a giant. Whatever.
Yeah, and I'm on top of a roof, or my hair grew back, and my clothes shrink.
These things just happen to me.
Yeah. And he's, oh man, I don't know. He's lucky those things happen to him. I want to be magical.
We are magical, Tiffany.
You're right. So Hagrid comes in, he rips this door off, and then he politely replaces the door, which I thought was funny because he's just a caring guy.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, reading the little summary, I was like, in my head, can hear Hagrid saying, like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know about Hogwarts.
Yeah, because so much of the you know, the dialogue is directly in the first movie.
Movie does such a good job at, like, literally word for word
dialogue. It does.
Well, I haven't seen you since you were a baby, Harry. What does he say? You're a bit more...
We're long...
That's
particularly
not
particularly around the middle.
What?
That's not in the book.
I know, but I like it in the movie.
Yeah.
It's a good add-in.
It is.
I'm not Harry.
Well, of course you're not.
Okay. 2.5 hours later, they've finished quoting the movie. We can get back to the episode. But I just wanted to look a little more on Pottermore about giants. And it says directly from there, they are violent in nature, known to remove heads when angered.
Yeah.
Wow. Which,
intense.
We find out later on, you know, with Hagrid's story about going in and talking to the giants, you know, how brutal they really are.
And not just removing heads of, like, other humans, but of other giants.
Of their own, yeah. And so, you know, I'm really glad that we don't see that in Hagrid.
Yeah, he's very much a gentle giant.
He definitely takes more from the human side of his background than the giant.
Yes. Yeah. Could it be that his mother left, so being raised
like his dad.
Being raised by his father probably had a big...
I love Hagrid.
A big impact.
We know.
On that. Giants also reside in the mountains. And then...
In the mountains. I mean, if you think about it,
they didn't
he's
always.
Kind of like a mountain man.
He's a mountain man.
Yeah. But I don't
very much
think
off
that
the land, you know.
They always did. It was more so whenever
they were pushed
they
there.
Pushed.
Yeah, they were forced to go live there.
I wonder where
and
they
then they're
lived
not really
that.
Meant to live in groups, but again, they were forced to, which is why they kind of turn on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
They have a violent nature, that's why.
It's very sad.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So the first thing that Hagrid does is asks for a cup of tea.
A cup of tea.
He's just so British. I love it. And then I also wrote down here that Hagrid's the first person to tell Harry that he has his mother's eyes and that he looks like his dad.
First person in a long line of people that say that.
Yes, seriously. But I just thought that was really...
But he had no clue. Until that moment, you know?
That's probably what he's known for after, you know, defeating Voldemort. Oh, he looks like his dad. But with his mother's eyes.
Right. It's probably the first time anyone's ever given him a clue of what his parents look like.
Or even given him an opportunity to, like, talk and discuss.
Mm-hmm. Or draw any sort of mental image of them, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder what his mental vision of them are. Because all he knows is that Lily is Petunia's sister.
Yeah.
So does
they don't look alike.
Envision her as a blonde, like Petunia?
Yeah.
Or, I think, you know, like, he has no clue.
So. I think he only really finds out when he hits the mirror.
Yeah.
And then he gets to continue that with the photo album.
I wonder, like you said, because he knows it's his mother's sister, if he, like, imagines, like, oh, do they look like sisters? Do they look alike? Or maybe he's thinking, I can't stand my Aunt Petunia, so hopefully she looks nothing like her.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I would be thinking that.
Yeah.
I would be hoping.
Like, hoping, like, I hope she's nothing, like, was nothing like her and didn't look like her and...
I don't want my mom to look like a horse.
No, but really. It's kind of crazy how different they are, but I don't know. And then he wishes Harry a happy birthday. And then I ask the question, is Hagrid the first person to ever do this? And I kind of figure that he is.
Probably.
Unless maybe, I was going to say, unless maybe a teacher did, but his birthday's in the summer, so.
Yeah.
Well, they have different schools. Like, their schooling is different than ours, time-wise.
Right, but he would have always been off in July, I think.
I think that's when summer holidays start. I could be
because
lying.
I know, like, if you if you look at just looking at remembering Goblet of Fire, the last long awkward brain silence.
What is Megan thinking?
What's Megan's trying to say?
The last you know,
summer break?
No.
I don't know what you're saying.
You know, like he goes into the maze. What is that?
The task?
Yeah, the last task.
Task.
But
the last task takes place on June 29th. So that's very late.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, Britain has a whole, they don't go to school.
But you have to figure when Dudley's going to Smeltings, he's leaving around the same time that Harry's leaving.
I agree. I'm just saying that their summer holidays are different than ours.
Yeah.
Because our school system is based on farming, and theirs is not.
We all agree with you.
Noted. Continuing.
Also, I bet you that was his first birthday cake he ever got.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And can we point out that in the book, Hagrid's not dumb and can spell happy birthday Harry.
Yeah, yes. I don't like the movieism of that. I just don't, like, come on,
don't
guys.
Be knocking on my Hagrid.
Sarah's very defensive.
Well, it's... But I agree. You shouldn't dumb down characters. Like, they dumbed down Ron so much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they did.
It's kind of crazy. Because so Ron's the one that really leads them into all these... things about the wizarding world that Harry and Hermione don't know because they grew up in the Muggle world, and then they make Hermione do it.
Miraculously knows everything.
Like, and Hermione's great, and she's knowledgeable, obviously, because she's Hermione. But like,
she's book smart.
You didn't have to dumb down Ron. Like,
right? He became just comic relief, which is annoying.
And it makes me sad.
Which also is what he turns into in Cursed Child.
Yes, I was just about to say that they made him like a nitwit.
Yeah.
Well,
like the weird uncle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, literally, yeah. Truthfully. So this is going to be a fun segment of mine. What's in Hagrid's pockets, part one? So when we meet Hagrid, he has these things in his pockets that we know about this far. Harry's birthday cake, a copper kettle, sausages, a poker, a teapot, several chipped mugs, an amber liquid. And so... I was like speculating as to what this amber liquid would be. And so I asked my husband and he goes, it's probably whiskey. And I thought, well, in the wizarding world, it could be fire whiskey. And then,
I said, or it would be mead. Cause he always talks about mead, wanting mulled mead.
Yeah. So,
and mead is yummy.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever had it.
It's good.
I think I have. Had it.
Is fire whiskey the only whiskey they drink?
I think it's the only whiskey I know about.
I'm sure not. I'm sure I think it's so just much. Kind of like an option that they have.
Yeah. Yep. I want to see Hagrid drink some giggle water.
Yeah. That would be great.
That would be amazing.
So next I want to talk about how clueless Harry is in this part of the book. Because I think it's kind of funny. I'm not funny, but... sad, I guess, in a way, because he doesn't know necessarily that he's clueless, but the Dursleys have made him that way. Mm-hmm. So Hagrid expects him to know everything regarding Hogwarts and even his parents. So why is Hagrid naive? Like, is Hagrid naive to think that the Dursleys would have told him about that? Like, why didn't Dumbledore? I'm sure Dumbledore knew to a point that Harry knew nothing. So why wouldn't he have warned Hagrid, like, he's not going to know? And not only that, but even with Hagrid there, the Dursleys are forbidding him to tell information to Harry. Like, what on earth are they so scared of? At this point, they already, like, know what's happening, I would think, you know? So does this go all the way back to Petunia's jealousy? I don't know.
I mean, and Hagrid states that Dumbledore said that he might have a little trouble getting him.
That's true.
So I don't know. Like, I think he is naive.
Yeah.
To kind of think, but he also probably has no idea the dynamic. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Dumbledore divulged any information. If he knew exactly how the Dursleys were treating Harry, he certainly did not tell Hagrid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that how could they know that they would? I would assume. If I was in that situation as like a Dumbledore or a Hagrid, well, they must have told him something. Like, how could they explain how his parents died or like, you know,
that weird things are happening.
Like, you would think that like they might not divulge everything, but they might be like, I don't know. But at the same time, this could be very hopeful because they don't like magic at all. And Dumbledore knew that, I'm sure, because of everything that happened. Or at least McGonagall had to have known, because if we talked about her and Lily being close, that she must have known.
Yeah, it makes me think that now that I'm thinking even more about it, like somebody had to have been like keeping tabs on Harry and what was going on.
Yeah.
Because he survived, and don't you think that they would have been worried that maybe some of these Death Eaters that hadn't been put into Azkaban would come and try and finish what Voldemort had tried to do? And I'm sure if Bellatrix was out, I mean, she begged Voldemort so many times to just finish him off herself. So, like, somebody had to have known. I don't know.
But at the same time, there's that whole protection of Lily's that's there that I think even some of the Death Eaters might not understand or expect.
Maybe
so
they were scared.
Even if they were thinking about going to finish Harry off for whatever reason, they never would have been able to get close enough because of the protection. So mm-hmm. maybe they tried. Who knows? They could have tried multiple times, but
yeah, but they wouldn't have been able to succeed anyway because of the
right.
the prophecy.
Because if you think about like looking back at Deathly Hallows, whenever the chapter that is the seven Harrys, mm-hmm. Once they get past a certain point, they immediately become visible, but before that, it's like they're invisible, basically.
So do you think, going back to our other episode, do you think that this Lily's love charm kept visitors away?
But if
that's a good point.
They couldn't find him. And the only time Mr. Diggle was able to bow to him was when Harry was outside of that zone.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes the zone? Because if it's the house, then why does it matter if the Dursleys were there or not?
I think it's...
But if it's Petunia, she was gone by the time that the whole Seven Potter, because they left.
Right, but he was... That so
it's a place he could call home.
Right, it was a place he could call home.
So it was the house, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it was... I guess, I don't know. I guess at that point, maybe there were more protections even than just the whole bloodline thing with Lily.
Yeah, I think because Moody did that.
Yeah, yeah. So they had a little bit more Moody. Potentially, but
yeah,
it's a thought.
And a good one.
And a good one.
So we finally get to the point with the famous quote, Harry, you're a wizard. Harry finally finds out the truth about himself, and he finally gets to open his letter. Just, like, imagine how he would feel. I don't even know how I would feel reading that I get to go to this amazing place after I've lived in a cupboard my entire life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know, first, someone mysterious writes to him. No one's ever tried to contact him, and then... Mr. Dursley tries to squash every possibility for him to find out who wrote it. And this giant comes bursting into the hut in the middle of nowhere and personally delivers him a letter. And the first thing that Harry thinks to say is, what does it mean they await my owl? So like I was saying before, it just proves that Harry is so obviously magical. Like, yes, he has questions. It even says questions exploded in his head like fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
But he isn't really like blown away about it. He kind of just accepts weird things and just rolls with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think he's just so eager, like anything is better than his situation. And so when I think Hagrid comes up here and says all this to him, he's just like greedily taking it all in because it's just, it's an amazing,
too good to be true.
Right. It's an amazing opportunity for him. Poor guy.
We also had a question too about as soon as Hagrid talks to Harry, he sends a quick note to Dumbledore saying, hey, I got Harry. I gave him his letter, and he takes this owl and he just throws him out into the storm. Do owls have a magical protection when they're delivering letters? Like, would he just automatically be able to fly through this horrific storm?
Yeah,
because he's on a mission, or I don't know.
I think they definitely do, and
to a point, I think.
And
they
I
do.
Think that now that I'm just like thinking of your question, like, are there magical owls and are there Muggle owls?
I want to say maybe. Yes.
I want to say yes as well.
But also, they can't survive the killing curse.
Well, not only that, but I was also...
that was low.
I was also going to...
R.I.P. Hedwig.
I was also going to say, if you think back to like how mail can get intercepted...
Yeah.
There's some protection, but at the same time, it clearly can be intercepted and read. So...
Maybe it's just weather then.
Yeah. You know, kind of like how Hermione puts that puts a charm on Harry's glasses before the Quidditch game so they repel water.
You're right.
So there could just be some of those types of protections on them, not necessarily like, oh, we will get from point A to point B.
No, yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. So. I think you're right. I like that.
I think there definitely are magical animals, though, because in Prisoner of Azkaban, when Ron takes Scabbers to the magical menagerie, there's magical rats.
Dancing,
and he's talking to him and says,
Scabbers
well,
is one.
Yeah.
He's not a rat.
Not a rat.
No, I mean, he is a rat. Let's be honest.
Well,
but she asks him, like, are you sure this is a magical rat or just a common garden rat? So
you're right.
Yeah.
Good example. So, all right. Well, I think that answers our questions about owls for sure.
Yeah. Oh, also, let's remember green ink on the letter.
Green
purple
ink.
Purple seal on that letter.
Yes.
And later on, there's actually violet light from Hagrid's wand.
Are there any other instances within the series of violet light?
I don't know,
because Harry's light, whenever he casts Expelliarmus with Voldemort, is red.
Red.
Hmm. So, yeah, I was trying to think.
It's just, like, crazy, like, violet.
Yeah.
Violet, you're turning violet.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye out on that.
Yeah.
Her
Well,
Hufflepuffs are particularly good finders, so I will find all the colors.
Katie's going to find that for us.
All right. So Petunia goes on a rant after Hagrid comes in and is like, I can't believe you didn't tell
a car
Harry.
Crash.
Yeah. And so she says, of course, like how... home guy can't talk. She goes on a rant about how, of course, she knew that Harry would be a wizard, knowing what his mother and father were. She recounts how Lily got her letter and disappeared to that school, and she came back.
The best school. Sorry.
She came back carrying strange things, turning teacups into rats, and how, going back to our previous episode about how she was jealous, and her jealousy is not only could she do all these amazing things, but her parents were so proud of Lily and how she was magical and she went did all these things. And yes.
Do you think that rules changed at Hogwarts? Because they say that, like, Petunia saw Lily turn teacups into rats and stuff. Like, why would she be able to do that at home?
Do you mean Hogwarts or do you mean within the ministry and underage wizards?
I guess either.
I think when it's within the immediate family.
Wizards are not allowed to do magic.
Right. Like, even Ron can't do magic when he's home, even though he lives in a wizard house.
Well, maybe it's because she was a muggle and this was before the letters came. And so it's before knowledge of the law, because her parents clearly can't enforce a law that they don't know about, a world that they have no idea about.
But it says she went to Hogwarts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She'd come home.
Yeah. She'd come home and...
She disappeared to school and then came back doing
bring
that.
Home, like,
maybe.
So that's why I wonder if maybe the rules changed at some point.
Probably.
It's a good thought.
One generation to the next or something.
Or maybe Lily would just talk about doing that and Petunia's just over-exaggerating.
No,
maybe.
I think it literally
says. Well, I mean, laws can change. So maybe they had it back in, what would this be? The 70s?
This is what it says. It says
70s or 60s, late 60s, early 70s. Maybe they had that law that, you know, that kids could do this outside of school, which I don't know why they wouldn't be able to.
I think it would be, when was Harry's born? What year was
he? And then maybe they put a law into place saying that kids couldn't by the time, you know, Harry was.
This is what it says in the book. It says, oh, she got a letter and like that disappeared off to that school and came home every vacation with her pockets full of frog spawn and turning teacups into rats. She calls her a freak.
So I'm thinking that there was no law in place. And then I'm thinking that a law was created.
Maybe something happened that made them change it.
That's a really good thought though. I never thought about that.
So maybe some kind of accident happened or
something. Plot hole.
Or a major plot hole.
J.K. Rowling doesn't have very many of those, though.
That's true.
She doesn't, but, queen. You know. And I'm looking on Pottermore, and I typed in underage wizardry, but nothing's coming up. So, Dear Joe.
I thought you were going to say Dear Jane.
Because you're listening.
Same thing.
So I said how she was jealous of Lily, not only could she do magic, but her parents loved to talk about her and how she was a witch. She also said nasty things about James, calls him abnormal, and she blames them for getting blown up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time Harry finds out how his parents actually died.
Kind of.
What do you mean kind of?
Well, she just says blown up, so.
I mean.
He doesn't really know right now.
Got landed with you.
Jeez.
And, you know, Petunia's life probably went completely different from what she thought was going to happen. You know what I mean? Growing up with a sister, you're probably thinking, we're going to get married around the same time and raise our kids together. And they were close before all of this stuff happened.
They were.
And, you know, before, like, Snape came into the picture. And
all
of a sudden, Lily finds out she's a witch and she discovers a whole new life in the wizarding world. And so she probably feels so left behind.
Yeah.
And that, you know, my sister can do all these amazing things and I'm just normal.
Like, cause if I think about, like, cause I have a sister and I think if she were to be going to Hogwarts and doing all that stuff, I would be bananas jealous.
Oh yeah.
The Kool-Aid man. So I get it. Yeah, I mean,
I can't imagine. And I, you know, going back to talking about how Snape takes his anger of James and his hatred of James out on Harry, Petunia's probably doing the same thing. She doesn't like Harry because it reminds her of all the things that, you know, should have happened. Like, I should have had, my sister shouldn't have been a witch and we should have raised our kids together. Instead, she was a freak and he was abnormal and now I'm landed with this kid that's going to be just as weird.
Yeah.
And remind me of all the things that he's probably going to get a letter to and I'm going to have to deal with it all over again.
Yeah. And so Harry has been told his whole life that his parents died in a car crash, only to find out in this chapter they were actually killed by an evil wizard, a.k.a. Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time Harry's hearing anything real about his parents, if you think about it, because he's only ever heard that they died in a car crash and he was not allowed to talk about it at all. He wasn't allowed to bring them up. And this is the first time he really hears about Voldemort and actually how he got his scar. And he knows that the Dursleys are horrible, but like, how does he feel finding out that his entire life has been a lie? They've lied to him for 10 years.
Yeah.
And like, he never knew his parents were wizards or how like his parents died. Like, I wonder, I don't know. That's like, that's a lot of information to find out in a very short period of time.
Well, especially at age 11.
Yeah.
Yes. Think about yourself at 11. And I mean, then what is hearing that, like, all this.
Sixth grade, right? Fifth or sixth
grade. Yeah. Sixth grade. Jeez. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. He has a rough life anyways. Like, his parents are dead.
You're right.
His family life is horrible because the Dursleys are the worst people ever.
Mm-hmm.
And now he finds out that literally they don't even care enough to tell him the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's just sad.
If they, they're probably thinking, like, if they did even tell him anything remotely close to the truth, like, can you imagine how much more, like, he would ask questions or want to know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Withhold that. I mean, they're just not nice people. But
no.
Is it really that much of an inconvenience for you to tell your nephew how his parents died?
They can't be bothered with him.
They could have just been like, they were murdered, killed by instead of dying in a car crash.
Yeah, but then he's gonna ask questions about, well, who would kill them? Why would kill you? They probably just wanted to avoid questions at all costs.
Yeah,
which they probably didn't want to talk to him at all. So, like, the less we tell you, don't talk to us, we won't talk to you.
I agree. So that kind of brings us to our first introduction to Voldemort. So I just wanted to kind of refresh everyone's memories on Voldemort's first rise to power. So Voldemort is formerly known as Tom Riddle, and it is stated that he is the most powerful dark wizard of all time. Like, it literally says that on Pottermore. So we can consider Voldemort's first rise to power beginning when he was in school at Hogwarts. I mean, that to me, that's kind of an opinion of mine, because that's where he started making his Horcruxes. So that began between 1938 and 1945.
I just have a random question Voldemort. So it's not super random.
Sure.
But so the movie was on yesterday, Order of the Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And in the flashbacks with Slughorn, he's talking about making 7 Horcruxes. But he didn't know he turned Harry into one. So
Half-Blood Prince?
What I call it, Order of the Phoenix. Yeah.
So yeah. I think he was aiming for 7 because he wanted a magical number.
So was he always going to do 7?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, and we discussed this the one time about how there's not a Gryffindor one. I mean, technically Harry is the Gryffindor one, but...
Well, I think he wanted the sword.
I think that we... Maybe, I mean, this is, again, just my speculation, but maybe we'll learn more about that in Fantastic Beasts, because this, it falls into that timeline of, because it's supposed to end in, what, 1945 is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm not sure if we're going to actually see his
story. We will
story.
See Hogwarts. And
we will.
We will, yeah.
Really?
Actually, in the next one, we will go back to Hogwarts, because they're...
That's going to be in the 20s, though, right?
Maybe. We don't really know. We don't know because there was rumor going around that the next movie would start like right after the last one ended. And JK debunked that and said, no, we will be jumping ahead a little bit. Right. I'm not going to tell you how much. And we'll be starting in Paris. But they also cast young Dumbledore, young... Oh, who else was it? Young Newt. So it could be going back as far as maybe Newt's schooling.
Who's playing young Grindelwald?
Oh, right. And young Grindelwald. I don't remember.
I just remember young Dumbledore. Who's playing him?
Wait, Jude Law.
Jude Law. You're right. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was asking.
Okay.
I was going to ask that.
That's a good choice.
I love him.
Yeah. Maybe we could pose a fan question as to if Voldemort hadn't been interrupted, a.k.a. almost killed, what would his 7th Horcrux have been? I mean, it would have had to have been something seriously intense.
I would have thought he would. Well, we're not going to answer this, right? Are we going to wait for our fans to answer
it? I don't know.
Or do you want me to answer it?
I mean, because it would be his 7th one where I think he thought that was like.
Well, I think he only picked special objects as his Horcruxes. So I would think that once he was able to take over Hogwarts, he was going to do the sword. Thoughts?
And think how like interesting that is. That I agree. Like, I think because he has something from every other house.
Yeah.
And then that's the one that destroys most of them.
Yeah. But he did. Yeah, well, smart. Later on it does.
Yeah.
Only after Chamber. But that's cool.
But at this point, for instance, already, let's say, book 7, and he still hasn't created a 7th to his knowledge. So at that point, I wonder if the sword would have even worked as a Horcrux because it was impregnated with Basilisk Venom.
I don't think it would have. No. I don't think you would have because whatever's going to kill it was already within the sword. I don't think it would have been able to turn, which would have been really interesting when he was trying like to turn it.
I feel like this is getting kind of deep and it's probably for a later.
It's getting, as our friends at Rebel Watch would say, it's getting deep and sweaty. And he can't hear me. All right. So his rise began while he was at Hogwarts between 1938 and 1945. He began to gather followers who would in secret call themselves the Death Eaters and then later to everyone call themselves Death Eaters. So while he's at Hogwarts, Voldemort was already planning how he would achieve immortality, and he was creating Horcruxes along the way. After murdering Hepzibah Smith for 2 more Horcrux containers, he disappears for 10 years, and he returns to Hogwarts for one final plea of becoming a teacher, and is speculated to have cursed the Defense Against the Dark Arts position after Dumbledore refused him the spot.
I do have a question.
I have an answer, possibly.
So after killing that guy and he creates 2 Horcruxes?
It's a lady.
Whatever. The person. So you can get 2 Horcruxes from one murder?
He got... Well, I don't know if it's necessarily from just her murder.
Oh,
he murdered
a random muggle. And her?
Yeah. But, you know, he just stole both containers from her. So the locket and the cup. Yeah. So tries to become a teacher. Dumbledore refuses him. And then over the next few years, he continues to gather followers, leading into the First Wizarding War, beginning in 1970 and ending in 1981 with a rebounding curse that left Harry Potter a Horcrux and Voldemort next to nothing.
That's crazy it was that long.
Well, wars are really long. You just don't necessarily realize it until it ends.
Yeah, and you got to realize he probably started really slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you think about it, in the second one, as much as you think it's like so quick, it's not. Like if you start in the 4th book, it's a couple of years.
I think it begins in the first.
Yeah, I guess
because Coral has a temporary Horcrux. Well, yeah, and he tries to get the stone. So they're leading us. Was he going to turn the stone into his seventh Horcrux?
Use it to get a new
use it and it. Then maybe turn it into I don't
use
know how
and abuse it.
I don't know how that Kill would Pearl. Work. I don't know how.
Oh, I bet you that could have happened. Oh, but I don't man. Know if the stone if it would have
I don't know.
Well.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's
but at
just
the same, you know,
it's a special object.
But at the same, so is the thing still worked. The resurrection stone still worked and that was turned into a horcrux.
You are right.
Stabbed.
Oh man, did we just have a breakthrough? And by we, I mean me and you. Just kidding, LA. The Ravenclaw and the Gryffindor.
Because I was just reading about the ring.
Oh, I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a good theory.
Because you know for a fact he would have gotten his little body back. And
his,
he'd be like,
his little baby Voldy.
Be like, Quirrell, you dead now, and I'm going to get this into a horcrux. Bye.
Girl, bye.
So
moving on.
So picking up from the ending of the first Wizarding War, we unfortunately have to discuss the death of Harry's parents.
Pouring out for Lily and James.
That would be
that would be two. Wow.
Do they have any animals? Because they're probably dead too.
They had a cat.
That's it. Well, I wasn't sure. I thought they did have a cat, and I didn't want to say it.
It's very important.
It okay. is, because we don't know what happens to that kitty. I hope Bathilda took the cat.
There's a cool fan theory, but I don't know if we want to get into it.
The cool fan theory is that Crookshanks is the Potter's cat, right?
Oh, I've seen that. I love that theory.
I know, me too.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I know.
So there's a really good timeline on the Harry Potter lexicon.
Love that. If you guys haven't looked that up yet, you need to go and check out the Harry Potter lexicon.
It said what really happened on the night James and Lily were killed. So,
because there's a lot of it is speculation.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's all that we can do at this point. So
leading up to the attack, we're going back a little bit to 1978 here, where Lily and James finish Hogwarts and then immediately go to work for the Order of the Phoenix. Voldemort tries to recruit them to be Death Eaters, but both were defiant. So while working for the Order of the Phoenix, Lily and James were speculating get married either in the summer or fall of 1978, though it could have even been as late as the summer of 1979. Then we're looking at the fall of 1979, which is when Trelawney makes the prophecy to Albus Dumbledore about a
79?
Child. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to keep on.
About a child to be born in July of that year, partially overheard by a Death Eater, Severus Snape, who reports what he heard to Voldemort.
Snape.
So, Snape. October 1979 is approximately when Lily would become pregnant with Harry, and then she and James both go into hiding because of said prophecy. Dumbledore automatically... you know, I don't know if you guys know this answer, but why was it ruled out that the prophecy wasn't talking about Neville?
It's Voldemort made that choice.
He just picked Harry. That's why. Okay. That's the only difference, because it could have been Neville had he picked him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he Dumbledore really immediately the sends one. Them.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately sends them into hiding.
Did he send the Longbottoms into hiding? I don't think so, because Bellatrix and...
Not that we're aware of. It says, Dumbledore knows that both of them are in danger, meaning Neville and Harry, but hesitates to act until he knows more about what Voldemort might do.
Okay.
So I don't know if he sends the Longbottoms into hiding. It's never really said
well,
that
clearly
I'm aware of.
Did not whatever happen.
So Snape discovers then... that Lily and her infant son have been targeted by Voldemort. And because of that, that is why he becomes a spy.
Yeah, but he's the reason, right? Well, if he was the one that overheard it and told...
Kind of.
Yeah.
He's the basic origin.
He is.
Another tick mark on the dislike comment.
I think that is maybe one of the reasons why he...
Yeah, feel guilty.
Yep. So he realizes it's his fault. He... obviously knows that he's madly in love with Lily and wants to do anything he can to protect her. So he then becomes
a spy. Is he pureblood? Or half blood. He's half blood.
He's the half blood prince.
I'm just thinking, sure.
He's half blood.
What's happening but,
like,
right
it
now?
It's interesting to me that, like, I don't know. Voldemort himself is half blood.
He's like one with Voldemort. They want to believe that they're the greatest when they're putting down people that are just
You're not even a pure blood. And you're like, only pure blood. Well, neither, then you need to leave too because you're not one.
Yeah, neither is Voldemort. Did we just say that?
Yeah, just said that. Yeah. Both of them. Mm. So go home and stay there.
Even though the Potters are in hiding, they're actually not under the Fidelius charm until only a week before they get attacked.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So Dumbledore suggests that they use the Fidelius charm to protect their hiding place. Mm-hmm. And initially, the Secret Keeper was meant to be Sirius. However, for some reason, Sirius persuades the Potters to bluff and use Peter instead.
He probably thought Sirius is more...
the expected. Obvious choice?
Well, not so much the obvious choice, but like a stronger choice. Kind of like how Mad-Eye was the one that... Mad-Eye was killed first because he was the toughest Auror.
Oh, right, yeah. So they assumed Harry would be with him.
Right, and Peter's a swarmy guy, so they went ahead and
I have a question, though.
You go ahead.
The Fidelius charm, did I say that right? It's supposed to... It is only broken if that person
the secret
divulges
keeper.
That secret.
So if, right. so if we all know that Sarah lives here, Katie, you're the secret keeper. Like
I can tell somebody.
We can tell whoever we want, but they'll never be able to find him. Only you can tell someone and have them be able to find it.
Right. So why would Sirius have persuaded them to bluff at all if Sirius knows he would not have told? He would have died.
Yeah.
Why
I don't know.
I think because...
So it's all Sirius's fault. Aww. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I know. I love Sirius.
I think he probably has a massive amount of guilt about that.
Oh, yeah. I just never thought
of that
until right now.
The whole story with him and Remus' story makes me want to cry my little eyes out.
I'm guessing that they probably assume that maybe Sirius will be captured and then potentially tortured, maybe, to get the information out of. And
but I don't think
maybe
would
they
tell.
Would give him Veritaserum. Like, you have no idea. And
you mean that it work, true. Though?
What? Yes.
Of course it would.
Like, I'm telling with the Fidel, whatever term.
Yeah.
Fidelius.
As long as
he says
words
it.
Come out of Sirius's mouth, it works.
That's
so,
a good point.
So maybe they wouldn't even think to capture Peter.
Right.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Unfortunately, Peter had become... a Death Eater.
Now, do we know if Peter Pettigrew?
Which
is,
how did that happen?
What his thing is? Is he a pure blood or a half blood or just a brat?
Oh, I don't know.
He's a brat.
Ugh. Peter Pettigrew.
I didn't mean to interrupt all that. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, that was a really good question.
So we know that Lily and James are attacked on Halloween night of 1981. And first, Voldemort comes into the house and kills James almost immediately.
Yes. This is just on Pottermore, Peter Pettigrew's fact file, house, Gryffindor skills, animagus, being a rat, in every sense of the word.
Yes.
We've said that before. He died March of 1998.
So,
killing himself.
Mm-hmm. Then Lily immediately runs to Harry's room and Voldemort follows, kills Lily while she's protecting Harry, then tries to kill Harry and the curse immediately rebounds, which causes the lightning shaped scar on his forehead and Voldemort to become nothing but basically his soul. So
what was left of it?
Right.
1/6.
I guess immediately Dumbledore places a charm on the house to conceal it because he wants to make sure that the muggles in that area don't see it, and he dispatches Hagrid to rescue the infant Harry. So that's sad, but why is it, obviously we know why Voldemort couldn't kill Harry, but I'm also kind of curious as to how it seemed to be so easy for him to just immediately kill James and Lily. I mean they're part of the Order of the Phoenix. They're strong witch and a strong wizard. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's no counter curse to Avada Kedavra, but like, would he really just walk in and immediately Avada Kedavra?
They weren't expecting it. James had left his wand on the couch and was just kind of hanging, and he literally walked in and killed James right after he said. Right after he yelled to Lily, then I wonder where's Lily's wand, because they thought that they were well protected by their friend,
right?
So that's why they were kind of lacks.
So sad.
And even Voldemort thinks, as he's walking up to this house, he thinks something to the effect that, you know, how silly James is for not having his wand always at the ready and putting his trust in friends. Yeah. Because we, as we know, Voldemort has no friends. Bellatrix would like to think that she's his friend, but Voldemort has, he has no number two. He has no friends.
He's a little, she's a little more than a friend to him, isn't she?
Nope.
Friends with benefits.
Nope. Can I go back to Katie's question really quickly? So I'm on Pottermore, and I was looking up Peter's and,
Peter's. The,
Peter Pettigrew. Oh, Lord. And there's a section on being a secret keeper. So I kind of wanted to say this because we were talking about Sirius. And I think that they chose Peter because they didn't think anybody would go after Peter. And I think that they didn't choose Sirius because it says on here, in spite of the fact that the secret can only be given up voluntarily, many have been subjected to the Imperius curse and Cruciatus curses in an effort to make them share their information. So I'm wondering if that is just so strong just to make someone say it. Because, I mean, Harry fights the Cruciatus curse.
The Imperius.
And curse. He fights the Imperius curse. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, like...
Harry's one of a kind, though.
You're true.
I think you guys are right, though. That just... They probably thought, well, Sirius is just the obvious choice for us to pick. Yeah. You know, and maybe Sirius was like, I gotta protect my friends.
Why didn't they just pick Remus?
Because they thought he was the spy.
He was strong, too.
Oh. Because he's a werewolf?
Yes. That's why later on...
Voldemort probably thought that he could, like...
Possibly persuade him.
Get Lupin over the dark side.
Never.
Yeah, everyone thought he was the spy.
Thought who was a spy?
Remus.
Remus.
Who thought he was a spy?
They were thinking that... Because the Potters...
Immediately Sirius thought that, right?
Yeah. The James, Lily, yeah. Remus, Sirius, Peter.
Yeah.
They knew there was a spy among them.
Ah.
It was Peter. But they all thought it was Remus because he's a werewolf, I guess. I don't know.
They probably thought that he would tap into that darkness in him or something. And poor little, you know...
And Remus, honestly, Peter. Is probably the purest of all of them. Let's just put that
I would 100% agree with that.
I'm reading on Pottermore
about
the
That actually makes
Marauders.
Me really angry that they thought he was the spy.
I didn't make that up, right?
I know. Remember that now that you say that. And it just... That's so ridiculous. He's the last one out of all of them that would. Yeah. Over James.
Especially... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you think that Sirius went to Lupin first before he killed Peter? Or attempted to kill Peter, rather.
What did you say?
I feel like that's talked about, and I feel like he maybe did.
I don't know.
Because how would he know to go after Peter?
Right.
If he thought it was Lupin.
I feel like that comes up with Remus sometimes.
He couldn't have, though, because after Sirius went to Azkaban, Remus thought Sirius was... He thought he was the spy. Oh, he did give James
so the over. So if Sirius went to kill Lupin or whatever... He would have known that it wasn't serious.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read what they say on this?
Yes,
on
please.
Pottermore. So this is like on Pottermore, and it says everything we know about the Marauders, and it's kind of a little bit down the page.
That they're my heart.
It says
minus Peter.
Unfortunately, Peter had turned spy for the biggest bully in the playground and saw a golden opportunity to win Voldemort's favor. Thanks to his betrayal, James and Lily were murdered trying to protect their son. And then. A little bit down. It says, an enraged Sirius immediately sought revenge. During their confrontation, Peter caused an explosion that killed several bystanders before escaping into the sewers in his rat form, leaving behind his severed finger. Sirius, a member of the notorious Black family, was found at the scene of the crime, manically laughing. He could have hardly looked more like a deranged murderer if he tried.
Do you think he was laughing because, like, he...
I think it all clicked. And he was just like, just blown away.
Just
by
lost
it.
His mind.
Yeah. I mean, how many of his best friends, just two of his best friends died. He's never going to see that. Well, I shouldn't say he's never going to see the baby again.
He was totally hoodwinked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. And then it was.
But like, did Peter have this whole like finger thing planned, like to fake his own death? Because he obviously had to have known they would have tried to go after him.
He is the one that goes and retrieves Voldemort's wand, apparently. I'm reading right
now on the Harry Potter lexicon. Yeah, let's keep rolling with that.
So, it says here, Peter... Let me see. Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sorry.
You're fine.
I just read it. It said Peter went and retrieved the wand from the scene.
This is speculation, correct?
It's on the Harry Potter lexicon, which is usually pretty accurate.
But I don't think she said this.
Yeah.
So it has to be considered speculation.
Yeah. So he goes and gets it and then supposedly hides that wand while... Oh, here it is. According to an unsubstantiated report from the 2004 Edinburgh Book Festival, J.K. Rowling told fans that Pettigrew hid the wand while he pretended to be the Weasley's rat. But he was the one that went and retrieved it. So it is not... I mean,
so if she said it...
Yeah.
Do you think he could have kept it on his person?
No.
No.
Like, magically?
So he hid it somewhere. Where would he have hidden it?
This makes me want to cry.
I mean, anywhere, right? You could hide anything in the burrow and never find it.
Maybe it's in the attic with the ghoul.
Yeah. But I don't know if he would have kept it at the burrow. I think he probably had it at, like, an off-site spot somewhere.
Well, and I don't know, because you really only see this in the movies. When he turns back into himself after being a rat, he, like, has his clothes on him. So, like...
But then when he turns back into a rat, his clothes fall down. But that's, I think that's a movie thing.
Yeah. I just didn't know if, like, is he stark naked when he, you know, in the books, like when anybody.
I think you keep your clothes because you can't just constantly be that's naked what I'm saying. Every time.
Like, what
you
if
transform?
Your wand is in your pocket?
Well, McGonagall transforms into her human form in front of Dumbledore and is still clothed. So.
Well, and, you know, she has her wand on her, like, so maybe he just kept it on him all the time and he never transformed back from a rat.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, I agree.
But she said he hid it, though. So maybe he kept it for a while and then hid it.
Yeah. It's all speculation.
Tis.
So, does Hagrid know... Oh, shoot, hold on.
Why?
We got real off topic.
I know.
Not off topic, but
like, yeah.
Does Hagrid know why Harry was protected? I think is what I'm trying to get at. Do you think that Hagrid knows about the protection and has Dumbledore kept this to himself the whole time?
I think that Hagrid does not know.
I would agree with that.
I think if anybody would know, it would be
Dumbledore
McGonagall.
Tries to make no one know, especially about the prophecy.
That's true.
True. Except Snape.
Snape.
But does...
Well, Snape already knows.
Dumbledore know that Snape knows that?
Probably.
What?
About the think props. They. Oh, well, I guess that's well,
yeah,
why.
Yeah, he had to have known before.
I bet you
James and Lily were killed because he pleads with him to protect her.
I bet you. And this would be me if I was Dumbledore. Like, I would have to be like, I need to hear your entire story.
Yeah.
Like, if you come, if you're coming to me and you want to turn spy or do whatever, I need to know every single detail. Like, he knew that he loved Lily.
Yeah. Well, I think Snape divulged like everything to him because, you know, he's pleading for his life because Dumbledore could have easily killed him. And Dumbledore must have known that this was going to work. You know how he has that kind of intuition about people anyway, because he's the all-knowing Dumbledore. So he must have known that this was going to work as Snape being a double agent. Is Dumbledore good at divination?
Possibly.
Because that makes me wonder if he could see how that could play out with Snape.
That's why he is so trustworthy and knows who to trust.
Yeah, because he knows to trust Hagrid.
Mm-hmm. He's good at reading people.
From a previous episode of What's Sarah Saying?
Thanks, Google.
Oh, man. These are all, like, awesomely good questions.
Yeah.
I like it.
Another question, kind of going a little bit further into the chapter. How do you think Harry feels when he hears that he's famous? I kind of think it would just be disbelief or anxiety.
Yeah. Disbelief for sure, because he's just Harry.
Right.
He's just so humble. Just Harry. Yeah.
Just Harry.
I mean, not when he gets older, he'll look, I'm the chosen one.
Well, that's when he's sassy Harry.
Do you think that he maybe has a thought in his mind that he's maybe just dreaming this?
100%.
Oh, for sure. Doesn't even say that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, later, at the beginning, at the beginning of the next chapter for when he wakes up,
And then again, after Hagrid explains Lily and James's death, all of a sudden, Harry's memory of that night gets stronger.
Yep.
And not only does he see a flash of green, but he also hears a scream.
And this is why I think that, you know,
maybe wizards have a better
Wizards have better memories. Yeah. And this wouldn't be him like full on remembering his parents passing or Lily passing rather because he was in the room with her because he can't see Thestrals. Right. I want to pronounce the TH more like hard, but, And that's why I think he only remembers.
Oh. You have to actually go through the mourning process to see Thestrals, I believe. I think that's the biggest difference.
Correct. Didn't we talk about this?
Yeah, we talked about I think we talked about this amongst our...
You didn't talk about this. We're getting to that soon.
Are we not talking about that yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I believe that's the next
and
episode.
And moving on.
And you didn't hear any of that.
It's for our next episode or another episode.
So I think it's important to point out... just how cruel Vernon is in this chapter. Mm-hmm. So Hagrid explains about Voldemort and his parents' death to Harry, and Vernon has this explosion about Harry's parents right to Harry. Just to quote it even, because I think it's important, he says, "Now you listen here, boy. I accept there's something strange about you, probably nothing a good beating wouldn't have cured. And as for all this about your parents, well, they were weirdos, no denying it, and the world's better off without them, in my opinion. Asked for all they got, getting mixed up with these wizarding types. Just what I expected. Always knew they'd come to a sticky end." Like, how terrible and disgusting is that?
Yes, like, he's just horrible.
It would be bad if you were to say that anyway, but you're doing it in front of the 11-year-old who... These are his parents. So just look at what this says about Vernon. I think it just goes beyond just disassociating himself with things that are less normal. And he just thinks he's that much better, not just than the Potters, but of everybody.
Right. And this, I mean, I already did not like him, but this like just like completely solidified that I hate Vernon.
Yes.
Ugh, he's such a horrible person.
Like, disgusting isn't even a good enough word.
No, it's really not. There's no English word that's good enough to describe him.
Yeah, Vernon.
But Hagrid, quite the opposite. I think maybe he should have been a Hufflepuff because he's super loyal.
You know what? He probably... Well, you know how they say you can pick?
Hatstall.
I think he Hatstalled.
Maybe he's like a Gryffindor.
Yeah.
I think he's a Raspinclaw. Raspinpaw? Is that what they said?
Stop talking.
Can you tell I'm tired?
But he warns Vernon not to say another word, and he's pointing his pink umbrella at him, and thankfully he shuts up for a little bit. But then Vernon finds his voice again and demands that Harry won't be going to Hogwarts. makes the mistake of insulting Dumbledore, and Hagrid,
crackpot old fool.
Yeah, Hagrid has magic had tricks enough. So he's not just loyal to the Potters, but he's probably even more loyal to Dumbledore, and that's when he tries to turn Dudley into a pig. And I have to point out this quote.
Please.
He says, I meant to turn him into a pig, but I suppose he was so much like a pig anyway, there wasn't much left to do.
Turdu.
I think it just speaks so much about Hagrid. Like, he's just a fierce friend.
You're right. He maybe, you know, he's a brave guy. Think about all he comes up against, especially in 7.
Right.
Sitting there tied up with all the Death Eaters, carrying Harry back. Like,
well, who he thinks is a dead Harry.
Right. So he's just, and you know, like, so say Harry had, you know, Harry died, but say had he fully died and not come back, I think Hagrid would have, once he got himself loose, he would have just unleashed fury.
Oh, yeah.
On really everyone. Would
see the giant side come out.
Yeah. Well, 100%.
He'd be ripping people's heads off.
That's heads also, would be rolling.
That's also, in a way, loyalty, though. Having,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, that's
having him carry Harry out like that is just another point of his loyalty almost to Dumbledore, I would kind of think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not going to back down, even though he's carrying Harry, who he believes to be dead,
yes,
out to everybody. He is still standing his ground, standing strong, and while that's brave, that's also loyal. So, I think he's a perfect example of a Griffin Puff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we can compare houses and, you know, obviously houses have similar traits, but I think Gryffindor and Hufflepuff are exceptionally close in their traits.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Slytherin and Ravenclaw are pretty close because
they can.
You're
be.
Ambitious and Ravenclaws are pretty ambitious as well.
I'm just super smart.
Well,
okay. Yes, yar. But I just think I like just connected that. So, yeah, I think he was. I would love to hear about Hagrid being sorted. I hope it was a hat stall.
Yeah.
Do you think the hat looked really tiny on Hagrid?
Yes.
It usually covers all the other first year's eyes, but on him, it's probably like this tiny little hat.
Probably looked like a grown man getting sorted.
Do you think that anybody has ever been a hat stall and actually chosen Hufflepuff?
I'm
sure.
That was a blow. Well,
you can't see my face right now, but I'm glaring.
In the next
mean mug
episode about Hufflepuffs a little bit.
Says the Slytherin. Yes.
You know, your wife is a Hufflepuff. You should be nice.
I just.
I would choose Hufflepuff.
That's right.
Would you really if you were
over Gryffindor? Yes.
Whoa, okay, I was defending you.
No, I'm not hating on it. I'm just proud to be one.
You're proud to be one because you were forced into it.
Oh,
no, I was not.
You guys, sorry, this is getting into a domestic dispute.
We can discuss it more in the next episode when we talk about the houses.
We can. All right, let's move on.
Sorry, I was looking at Pottermore.
That's okay.
So, this is the first time that Harry hears anything about Voldemort. So even though people don't like using his name, and Hagrid is one of them, like he struggles saying it, and Harry asks him to spell, and he goes, oh, no, I can't.
Yeah.
He says it anyways for Harry.
Yeah.
And he even says he doesn't believe that Voldemort is dead. Mm-hmm. Codswallop is what he says.
In my opinion.
In his opinion. So, like, it's interesting that majority of the people in the Wizarding World think that Voldemort's dead. They're like, he's gone. He's been dead for 10 years. He's been dead for 10 years. So what makes Hagrid think that he isn't dead? Like, does he know something? Did Dumbledore say something? Or does he just have, like, a feeling? Is he more intuitive than we give him credit for?
I think that a lot of the wizards probably have this feeling that they, like, he's just so powerful. Yeah. Too good to be true.
Yeah.
And then also, if you have to think about it, Hagrid was, you know, really close with what word are we using here? Is really close with Dumbledore. So I think that, you know, maybe if he were to question Dumbledore, you know, if Voldemort had really gone, and Dumbledore would be give him like that vague, it certainly seems so or appears so, mm-hmm, answer, I think Hagrid would have picked up, he doesn't totally believe it, so I'm not going to totally believe it either.
Yeah. And I said, Harry doesn't even believe he could be a wizard. Like, how horrible has his life been that nothing this good could ever happen to him?
Yeah.
And Hagrid asks him if anything strange has ever happened to him, anything he couldn't explain. And so for Harry, maybe that's like the first time he's thinking, well, maybe it's probably one of those things, like, I don't want to get all my hopes up on thinking that all these wonderful things, like, I'm actually a wizard and I can go to the school and I can get away from the Dursleys. He doesn't want to get all his hopes that all that can be true. So he's like, no, it can't be true. Like, I'm not a wizard. I'm just Harry, just a normal kid.
Yeah.
With a horrible home life. So it's interesting to see how Hagrid's like, no, like, I'm sure you did some juvenile magic. Essentially, he doesn't say it like that, but.
Right.
And then I lost my place.
It's all right.
Da, da, da.
How's he feeling?
And so then we see Hagrid. Oh, my God. Hagrid isn't supposed to do magic, even though he does, like giving Dudley a pigtail. And he's like, strictly speaking, I'm not allowed to do magic. But, like, he doesn't get caught doing it. And he's in front of Muggles, which is interesting that, like, I wonder if they let it slide.
He had special permission
to do a little bit of magic.
Yeah.
But does giving a kid a pigtail?
I don't think they know that he's given a pigtail. I think they know that magic's occurring. But it also makes me wonder because Hagrid's pumpkins are usually large, and he does use magic on the pumpkins because we see the umbrella sticking up in the corner.
I think they let it slide a little bit.
Yeah, but, like, the thing that kills me is this is so off topic, but he clearly was proven innocent of opening the Chamber of Secrets and killing Moaning Myrtle. Like, give him a wand. Jeez. Yeah.
Well, so my question is, why does it matter if he was expelled from Hogwarts? I mean, I get it. I understand ish, but, like, what if you never went to school? Like, what if you were closed and you could still do magic? Like, why does that matter? If you're 17, you should be allowed to do magic.
Well, we also kind of have another example of this in Newt Scamander. Because Newt was expelled.
Scamander? Oh, I thought I was going to make fun of you, but you were speaking correctly. My bad.
What?
No, because Newt was expelled, yet A, still has his wand fully intact.
That's true. Hagrid. That's true.
Good point.
B, has worked for the Ministry of Magic.
Truth.
And C, has no limitations to the magic that he can or can't do.
And wrote a book that is used now as a textbook.
Maybe it's because Hagrid was expelled because someone died.
Did someone snap Newt's original wand and maybe he got another one?
Not that I'm aware of. I do know that we are going to learn more about Newt's expulsion in, I think, maybe even the next movie. JK has confirmed that. But I guess there are some circumstances, and she obviously hasn't given super in-depth details because we're going to learn more about it, but there are different circumstances with expulsion.
Ugh. Well, but so. I'm wondering, though. I mean, he was proven innocent.
Yeah, that's my thing.
At the time, someone died, so maybe that's why his wand got snapped.
Yeah, but he was innocent.
And that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, but
when it happened, like, I feel...
No, I get that.
I don't know. It's just interesting.
No, I get what you're saying. But I just, like, it just annoys me that...
Yeah.
Give him another wand.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore has the Elder Wand. Why didn't he just fix it? Harry fixed his.
Oh, that's true.
That's a good point. Does Dumbledledore know that Hagrid still has his pieces?
Oh, come on.
Because he let him use magic. He knows what that umbrella is. He knows.
He believes in magic.
Do you believe in magic?
And so you have to think about Harry and how in the matter of minutes, his entire life has changed. You know, how does he feel about it? He finds out what really happened to his parents and that, you know, there's this crazy wizard that tried to kill him and, you know, he's magical and there's a school he's going to go to and he's actually a wizard. Like, I can't imagine the thoughts and feelings that are running through his brain. It's
probably a jumbled mess, but...
Yeah.
But so much excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably excited. Definitely. Scared.
But...
Nervous at, like, I hope I wake up and this is all true.
Is this really real?
Yeah. I was going to say, he thinks he's dreaming.
Yep. All right, so this brings us to our lightning bolt round. Without scrolling up in the dock, we're going to go around. I wanted you to name something in Hagrid's pockets at this point in time.
A picture of me.
Okay, oh, you're out.
Do I have to remember?
There's door mice.
What you stated, or no, is there, yeah. Can I name other? Well,
there's
things. Other.
Just things. No. Just up to this point, because there's a second round. There's What's in Hagrid's Pockets Part 2.
Part 2.
In the next episode.
Several chipped mugs.
Several chipped mugs.
Whiskey.
Or?
Mole. Need. Mole.
Moles.
There are no voles.
Megan.
Sausage.
Sausages, yeah.
Sausage.
We're just going to keep going because I remember more.
Yeah.
Yeah, go, Katie.
A poker.
A poker.
A teacup.
Okay.
I mean, a kettle.
A candlestick maker. Yeah.
An owl.
Yes, an owl.
A cake.
There you go. Do we get
a one? Letter for Harry?
Oh, I didn't state
obviously
that.
Writing utensils because he wrote a letter to Dumbledore.
So, yeah.
No, cool. What it what stated in the book.
I think I'm out.
We got them all. I
know. Oh, really?
Yeah. Up to this point, we got them all. Birthday cake, kettle, sausages, poker,
statue of Joanne,
teapot, several chips mugs, and an amber liquid.
And an owl. And a letter.
We went above and beyond.
There's and more to come.
Anybody have any more lightning bolt round questions? I know that one's kind of like a one word answer thing.
What's any good questions we could ask?
Do you guys have any lightning bolt round questions that you could submit to us?
If you could give Dudley a tail besides a pig, what would you do? Monkey. Or any other animal feature.
Kangaroo tail. It's really long.
A tiger tail.
No, he is not worthy of a cool tail like Tigger.
Okay. You're right. Tigger's too cool.
A vole tail.
A monkey tail.
Monkey tail would be cool.
An elephant tail.
Little Ooh. One. Little swisher.
Now, would there be any other animal features you would give him?
A trunk.
An entire pig.
Hooves.
What is, like, oh, anteater mouth. Don't they have a little mouth?
Yeah, I wish you could see Sarah's face right now. She just imitated an anteater.
I love it.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, I love it. They look up ants. They are anteaters.
So gross.
I got one. If you were Hagrid, what is another object that you would make into your wand?
Ooh.
That's tough.
A pen.
I think a cane or something like
that. A cane?
Yeah.
A little Lucius Malfoy action.
I would have like a hair clip or something or like a. So I could be like, pew, 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 pew.
You're Hagrid.
A pin of Bobby. Yeah, but you just stick a little thing in there. No one will ever know.
You're right. He has a mangled mess.
Oh my God.
You know, I was thinking wildly, like he's so big. What if he used like a pool cue?
Oh my God. A tree trunk.
Right. A whole branch.
The whole Forbidden Forest.
I have a lightning round question that's really sad.
Oh, jeez. No, we were just so happy. All right, go.
If you could save Lily or James.
Oh my God. Sophie's choice.
I'd save Lily.
Who would you save?
Oh, man. Well,
Harry's a baby. I'd save Lily.
I love the Marauders, all of them, I'd have to save Lily.
James was such a jerk.
It's not. I just think that, not like,
I think teenage. They grow. Men grow up. So do women. So we have to.
I think
certainly. We didn't know after Hogwarts, James.
I would love
to
see how they found. I know how.
So you just got to slow your roll, Megan.
I cannot believe that Lily would ever fall in love with him.
That's because you didn't know after Hogwarts James.
I'm sure, especially with the war and everything. Well, he had to grow up real quick.
They started dating in both, seventh year, though.
Yeah, but weren't they both that? Hold on, I cannot talk. Weren't they both head boy and girl?
Yes.
Correct.
So he cleaned up his act big time.
I think so.
Opposites attract.
She should have dated Remus.
Okay.
Oh, my God. And he fell in love with Tonks. Let's be moving on.
Yes. Okay. And now it is time for our fan-featured Potter story of the episode.
So our story comes from Anna Marie Doyle. She says, I had gotten a Barnes & Noble gift card for my birthday, or Christmas the year it came out. I can't remember. because both are in December. I remember hearing it was supposed to be a good book, but I had no clue there would ever be any others to come out later. I was absolutely hooked as soon as I started reading it. It was one of those books I would keep telling myself to just go to sleep, but I couldn't put it down even though my eyes hurt and I could barely stay awake. Story of my life.
Familiar with that.
Yes. Yeah. Every time a new one came out, I would start the series over and read the previous books again to refresh my memory. The movies are good, but the books will always have a special place in my heart. Yeah. It will probably always be my favorite book series.
Yes. Anna. Yes.
Yep.
Completely yes. Relate.
Maybe 100%.
Yes.
Thank you for submitting your Potter story, Anna. We really appreciate that.
Thank you. Yes,
thank you.
Yeah. Make sure that you go and like our Facebook page and post your Potter story along with reviewing us on iTunes, because it'll help us get on New and Noteworthy, and that would be really awesome, and we would really appreciate it. So if you do review us on iTunes, go ahead and comment on that pinned post on our Facebook page, and I will send you a free Swish and Flick button all the way up until September 1st. So go and find us also on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Tumblr.
Tumblr.
You can find us at Swish Flick Cast or Swish and Flick Podcast. Tell us about your thoughts, your disagreements, anything. We want to hear from you. And lastly, make sure that you subscribe to us on Podbean or iTunes. That way our new episodes will come to you first.
That's right. First and foremost, we rock.
That's rock. That's
We're
rock.
Amazing.
Today.
Yes. And so that is it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
Test.
Test. My bad.
Hermione.
Harry Potter.
1:29 all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.